Hello everyone. Today is Saturday, the 2nd of November, 2024. We are gathered here for the 156th session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English, conducted by Nisara Navanaya. I would warmly like to welcome Venerable Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for this session. And we would also like to welcome everyone who's joining via Zoom, Facebook live stream, and anyone who will be listening to us later. Our program will commence as usual with the in-session practice of mindfulness guided by our Venerable Panthe, and we will move on to a talk on today's topic, which is good and evil for this week, and then it will follow by with all the reports that we have received from all of you, and we will get feedback from Panthe. And to begin today's session, I would like to now invite Venerable Dhamma Kusala Thero for the in-session practice of mindfulness. Over to you, Panthe.
Thanks, Sonali. Hello, everyone. Today, to start the program, let's do a mindful sitting session. For this, you have to sit in a comfortable manner. You can turn on video if you feel like it. Once you are seated comfortably in a balanced manner, gently close your eyes. For a moment, notice the status of your mind. It might not be quiet and calm as we expect it to be. Sometimes our minds make a lot of noise. All we feel is chaos when we pay attention to it. That's fine, whatever the status of your mind, it's fine. It could be calm and quiet, it could be noisy and all over the place. Simply notice the status of your mind, simply be aware. Among all the chaos, among all the noises, notice whether you can feel the breathing in your body. We try and gently bring our attention to the breathing or some other prominent bodily sensation. The breath goes in and it comes out. Again, the breath goes in and it comes out. Time after time, we get distracted with various things like thoughts, memories, certain irritations in your body, or even sleepiness. We get distracted with these things. But among all these things, we have the ability to navigate back to the breathing sensations. That way, let's try to continue our mindfulness for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. That is just to give you an idea about the mindful sitting. So you can practice on your own. With that, Sonali, you can take over.
Thank you, Bhante. Next on the agenda is the talk on today's topic. This week's topic is on good and evil. And I'd like to invite Bhante once again for this week's Dhamma talk.
Okay, I wasn't able to unmute because of the co-host matter. Okay, now today we have a new topic and we can try and take some time to discuss today's topic and see how we can relate it to the mindfulness practice that we are doing. Now, when we think about our surroundings, we try to have certain things in a certain way. We expect people to behave in a certain way. This way, certain things we like, certain people we like. If there are things that we don't like, what we try to do is we try and change them. We don't like to accept those things that we don't like. We don't like to accept the qualities of other people that we don't like. Instead, what we do is we try and change them. We try to control situations. Let's say when it comes to certain situations, you try to control them. How to change those situations according to your wishes. Or maybe you even try and control other people, your family members, your friends. You try to control them and change them according to your wishes. So this way, in a way, we try to change situations. We try to change people according to our expectations, right? We try to control situations. We try to control other people. Now, when it comes to controlling other people or situations, there's this funny thing that happens when you do it, right? It is called the paradox of control. What you try is that you try to make them the way that you expect. You try to change situations according to your expectations. You try to change people according to your expectations. But this theory or the paradox of control, it says the more you try to control, the more vulnerable you'll become. The situations, the people, more you try to control, more vulnerable you'll become for the changes. Right? For example, let's say there's this person, his garden or his house is flooded. With every rainfall, the house is flooded. So this person trying to change the situation. He doesn't like the flooding. So he try and change the situations. He built a dam in order to stop the flooding. Right, temporarily it works. When you build a dam, the water will retain there and the flooding will stop. But after a while, there's this huge downpour, huge rainstorm, and the entire dam got broken. And because of the dam was holding so much water, his entire house was destroyed. Because when the dam breaks, it comes with a huge force. A lot of water is released at once, right? So he tried to control the situation according to his expectations. But in return, he became even more vulnerable to those situations, right? So same goes for us as well. Same goes for our lives as well. This is called The paradox of control. The more you try to control things, the more vulnerable you'll become for the situation, right? Think about your life. Think about your expectations. What happens when you try to control situations in your life? What happens when you try to control people in your life? If you do it to a certain level, it might work. But if you try to control every situation, if you try to control all the aspects of other people, then you'll end up more and more frustrated. You'll have to give up your peace in return for you trying to control these people and the situations. So this is called paradox of control. The more you try to control, the more vulnerable you'll become for the situations, right? So that is the idea. That's what we are going to discuss. We have to understand we can control things into a certain level, but after that level, after a certain amount, you have to give up your control. Otherwise, when you try to control it 100%, when you try to make it perfect, in return, you'll have to give up your peace of mind. In return, you might trigger your own OCD, right? So this happens, right? So that's the very idea in today's talk. Let's say when it comes to mindfulness practice, even today's guided sitting, we try to practice, we try to be mindful. Usually, when we try mindfulness, when we try to practice, people expect the minds to be suddenly calm and quiet. They spend their entire life doing various things, enjoying. Suddenly, they come to a monastery and they expect their minds to be calm and quiet. But in reality, that won't happen. So when you start practicing mindfulness, your mind might make even more noise. Your mind might go even more crazier than your usual status of mind. So that is natural. That is how it works. So among all the noises that mind makes, among all the chaos, you try to gently notice the breathing in your body. If it is mindful walking, you try to notice the sensations at your feet, the walking sensations. You have to be gentle with this process. If you try to calm your mind forcefully, if you try to be with the breath 100% of the time, it won't work. The paradox of control will apply into the same situation. You know, you try to be calm in your meditation, but when you try too much, as a result, you'll become more and more chaotic in your mind. You try to be with the breathing 100%, and as a result, your mind get more and more distracted. So this happens, right? So you have to find your proper control in the practice. That is the very idea of mindfulness practice. When you start your mindfulness, when you try to sit, you can feel so many thoughts rushing in. You can feel so much inner chatter noise in your mind. Don't try to fight these things. If you fight these things, what will happen is that you'll end up more and more frustrated. You'll end up more and more vulnerable to those situations. So what you have to do is that you have to accept these things. You have to accept the noise in your mind. You have to accept all the thoughts in your mind. With that acceptance, you gently return your attention back to the breathing. Let's say certain situations you can't return to the breathing. Then what you try to do is you try to be aware that your mind is so much noisy. Try to be aware that your mind is so much chaotic. That very awareness you can maintain. And when you get a chance, you can gently return back to the breathing. Right? That is the proper approach. Otherwise, if you try to forcefully control your mind, if you try to forcefully calm your mind, if you try to be with the breathing 100% of the time, you'll end up more and more frustrated. The paradox of control. The more you try to control, the more vulnerable you'll become, right? So that's the way of mindfulness. You have to understand that this mind, it has certain tendencies. It has certain biases. It has certain addictions. Most of them are subconscious, right? Recent, you know, today's in this new world, research says that 95% of the activities of your mind, they are subconscious activities. Only like 5% of them are conscious, right? So you can see how much of a weight there is for these activities. It's like the tip of the iceberg. Most of it, it's underwater. You can't see. You only see the tip that is under your control. You can control that part into a certain level. But the majority is out of your control. Those are habitual behaviors, mostly habitual behaviors, compulsive thoughts, those type of things, right? So you have to make peace with it. If you try to fight it, then you'll end up more and more frustrated. That's what happens to most mindfulness practitioners. They were fine without meditation. And they try meditation and they end up more and more frustrated. Right? That's not the case. That's not the proper approach. You have to understand this is the nature. This is the status of this mind. You have very little control over it. With that understanding, with that acceptance, you can gently do your part. Time after time, return to the breathing. Don't try to make it so much hard. Instead, gently return to the breathing. Allow the thoughts to be. Allow the noise in your mind to be. Among all these things, you control into a certain level. You are not totally giving up control. Don't get me wrong when I say don't try to control it too much. You are not giving up control. You try to control into a proper amount. Otherwise, if you give up control, that won't be meditation, right? Then you may as well be living your usual daily unmindful life, right? So you control into a certain level. That control is, among all these things, you gently navigate back to the breathing. If it is in walking, among all these things, you gently navigate back to the feet sensations, right? So we control into a certain level, but we don't try to control it 100%. We don't try to make it perfect. If you try that, then it won't be easy for you. You will become more and more frustrated. You will become more and more vulnerable to these thoughts, various tendencies of your mind. So what we do is we try to control into a certain level, right? With that approach, we can develop our mindfulness. Same approach goes for life as well. We are not totally giving up control. Instead, we understand the majority of these things are out of our control. Majority of these situations, majority of these people's behaviors, they are out of our control. But we have a certain control over this. We exercise that. We do our part. We focus on the things that we have control and we do that part, right? So that is the very idea in today's poster. If you go see it, it says we should fight to keep the enemy in check, not to eliminate them. Right? Very nice quote, very nice idea. And the poster, it shows otters, right? those creatures, they are a good representation for this very court, right? They work as a team and they sometimes fight even the caimans. The caimans, they are higher in the food chain. They try to eat these otters. But they, as a group, try to fight their enemies. Sometimes even kill caimans as a group, right? But they don't have so much power over these creatures because they are higher in the food chain. What they do is they fight. They fight. They fight and keep the enemy in check. Right, but they don't try to eliminate them. If they try to eliminate them, then it won't work for their advantage. Right, so these otters, they tell us a nice lesson that we should fight. We shouldn't give up. We should fight, but we should fight to keep the enemy in check. Right, not to eliminate. If you try to eliminate it, then it's not good. It's not healthy. That is the very idea. In this world, you can find good. But in this world, there will be bad as well for the evil. Right? If you try to make it 100% good, if you try to eliminate evil in this world, then you are doomed. Right? In the process, you'll end up more and more frustrated. In the process, you'll end up more and more vulnerable to the evil in this world. Right, so you have to understand proper balance. You should fight, but you should fight in order to keep the enemy in check. Right, you shouldn't fight to eliminate them. That's the very idea. That is the proper approach towards your life. Let's say the workplaces, those matters, or the family matters, you have to fight into a certain level. Right, you have to do your part, you have to report on time, you have to, you know, spend those hours. Those things are reasonable. But if you try to fight too much, then in the process, you'll end up more and more frustrated. You'll end up becoming a workaholic and still frustrated at the end of the day. That is not good, right? So you can do your part. You can fight into a certain level, but you shouldn't fight to make it perfect. Even with your family members, let's say, they have various thoughts, various emotions. That's how people are. It doesn't matter that they are your family members. They are people, right? People have various tendencies, various thoughts, emotions. That is the nature of humans, right? So you have to maybe teach them if they are children. You have to show them guidance, proper path. You have to show them. But most of it is out of your control. Right? So you can do your part. But if you try to control every aspect of their lives, if you try to control everything that they do, you'll end up frustrated at the end of the day. Right, that won't give you peace in your mind. That's not possible. You'll end up frustrated, you'll end up worried, because in the process you have sacrificed your peace of mind. And in the process you won't be successful. Right? So you have to understand this is how the humans are. Right? You have to do your part. You can do your part. Wholeheartedly do it, right? But after a certain level, right, you have to give up control. Let them make their own decisions. Let them be responsible for their decisions, right? Even same goes for the situations in this world, right? Many things are happening. Wars are there. People are worrying that we are in the next moment there'll be a third world war. That is what people are worrying. They think that this is going to be a nuclear war. Right? So they sleep at night thinking that when they wake up, the world might not be there. The world might be gone along with them. Those type of worries are there in people, right? But when it comes to those wars, those type of situations, do we have any control? Most of us, we don't have any control, right? Those things are out of our control. Those countries, they fight for their own reasons, right? So it is the world. That's how it is. If you start fearing these things, then in return, you'll give up the peace of mind. You're worrying about a war in some other part of the world, which you have no control, and you'll be frustrated. You'll be vulnerable in your mind, right? Even when it comes to your society, crime is there, right? So always there is a possibility that something might happen to one of your dear friends or maybe a family member. Something might happen, right? So you can do your part. You can give them proper guidance. You can protect them when it is necessary, right? You can teach them how to be safe in different situations. All those things you can do. But at a certain point, you have to give up control. If you try to follow them day and night, if you try to keep them 100% safe, it's not possible. Right, so that type of a world we are living in, right? So you have to understand, we should fight. We are not giving up, we should fight, but we should fight in order to keep the enemy in check, not to eliminate them. If you try to fight and eliminate them, it's not gonna work. Same goes for your body or mind as well. Let's say in your body, there might be certain pains, aches, certain illnesses, right? Some people, they try to be 100% healthy. Health is a tricky word when it comes to our body. Can we be healthy? That's a problem that we have to ask. But anyway, they try to, you know, be 100% healthy, right? They try to get rid of all the pains, aches in their bodies. They consult doctors for every little thing, right? That way we approach, we try to make our body 100% healthy. But this body, it's a vehicle kind of a thing. It's a machine, right? Whenever a vehicle or a machine works, there is friction, right? In this world, there is no machine without friction. Always there is friction. And when you are younger, you have less friction. And when you grow older, the friction gets higher and higher. And they say old age is a tiredness that no amount of sleep will get rid of. That is how they define old age. You have to grow old and see. It says that old age is a tiredness that no amount of sleep will get rid of. Right, so when you grow old, the body becomes weak, the joints, they become fragile. In return, you feel more and more friction. So if you start fighting this friction in your body, it won't work. When you function with this body, certain insects, certain poisonous creatures, they attack you, right? You feel pain. And when you go here and there, sometimes bruises, sometimes wounds, they happen, right? You can't get rid of those things, right? So you can maintain a certain level of health, but if you try to make this body 100% healthy, it's not going to work, right? So you have to maybe keep a little sickness in your body and just be satisfied with that, right? Accept that little sickness and you'll be healthy. Right, if you try to fight that little sickness, in return you might get even a bigger sickness. That happens. I'm not joking. That happens, right? There was this person, especially these things happen to monks, because they get all the free offerings to, you know, do health checks, and some people, they come and offer full body scans, you know, those type of things, right? So if you go and do a full body scan, what will happen? Right? You can find tiny, some wrong thing. You can find, of course. Right? Do a full body scan on anybody. You will find certain defects. Definitely you will find something. Right? So when you start treating it, maybe benign something, you are treating. And in return, you'll get a greater sickness. Right? So some people, they come and offer full body scans. Tell them no. Right? No, I have no issue, so I am not going to do it. Right? They come and try to check your pressure or diabetes. Those things they offer to check. As long as you don't check, you don't have a sickness. Right? So that type of approach is better. Because if you start trying to make this 100% healthy, you will not hear the end of it. Right? So you start, maybe it's better to have little friction, certain small sickness you might have to accept in this body. Don't try to get rid of this, you know, just let it be. And in return, you'll be gifted health. Right? But if you try to fight that little thing, maybe after a while you get a bigger sickness. That happens. Certain rashes, certain things are there in this body. So let them be. If you try to cure it, then what happens is that returns in a different form or a shape. Right? So always there is a balance. Even when it comes to this body chemistry, there's a balance. If you try to get rid of that balance, what will happen? In return, you'll become more and more vulnerable. Right? So that is there. Even same goes for your mind as well. Most of the practitioners, they think and they try to get rid of defilements. And they say this is the aim of the practice, making this mind pure, getting rid of all the defilements. That's how they approach it. And when I say don't try to get rid of all the defilements, they will fight me. They will say that's not the way, Bhante. We have to get rid of all the defilements. That is how we can develop our practice. But if you try to, you know, get rid of all the defilements, in return, you'll become more and more vulnerable to the defilements. So what you have to do is, you have to find peace in these defilements. You know, let them be, but don't try to feed them. And don't try to give control of your life to those defilements. Right? But we are not trying to get rid of them. We are fighting. We are fighting a good fight in our practice. But we are not fighting to eliminate all those things. Right? That is the proper way. That is the proper approach. In your mind, the thoughts will be there. As long as you have a mind, you'll have thoughts. As long as you have a mind, you'll have emotions, right? So don't try to get rid of them. Instead, just let the thoughts be. Make peace with those thoughts. And among those thoughts, don't try to, you know, indulge in them. Don't try to fuel those thoughts. Instead, gently return back to the breathing. At least maintain your mindfulness without fueling them. That is the good fight that we are fighting, right? But we are not fighting to eliminate those thoughts. If you start that fight, then you won't win, right? So that's the proper approach. Now, when it comes to this, there's this very nice quote from Suzuki Roshi. He says that keep the front door and the back door of your house open. Keep it open, right? Let the things come from the back. Front door and go out of the back door. Let the things come from the back door and go out of the front door. Right? He's giving this analogy to our mind. But don't try to serve them tea. Right? So allow thoughts to come and go as they wish. But don't try to serve them tea. Right? If you start serving them tea, what happens? You are indulging in these thoughts. You are fueling them more and more, right? If you start fighting all the thoughts, then you'll end up more and more vulnerable, frustrated. Right? So this proper balance you have to understand. As long as you have a mind, you'll have thoughts. As long as you have a mind, you'll have those emotions. Don't try to fight them. Right? Just accept that they are there. Among these things, how can I be mindful? That is your challenge. That is the good fight that you are fighting. Right? That's the way. Even as a human, you'll have certain faults. Most people, especially when they start practicing, especially when they become, you know, practitioners, they start cursing themselves. Whatever the small mishap, whatever the small error that they make, they curse themselves. Right? They think about precepts, morality. They think that I have to protect these things. Try and protect it. But if something is broken, then in the teachings, there's a way to purify yourself. You acknowledge that I have made this mistake. And with that acknowledgement, you are purified. It's like a, you know, confession, right? In Christianity, the idea of confessions, right? You go, you tell, Father, bless me, Father, I have sinned, right? You do a confession. And when you come out, you are forgiven. Whatever the thing that you say, according to the instructions, you do something and you are forgiven. Right? It's important that we forgive ourselves. Otherwise, we always think about these things and we always try to curse us. I have done this 10 years ago. Right? I'm going to go to hell. This person is again and again thinking. And if you keep that thought pattern, what will happen? You'll definitely go to hell. Right? So you have to understand, even in our practice, the Buddhist practice, we might make mistakes. We might break our precepts. We acknowledge it and we make a determination to correct ourselves in the future. With that very acknowledgement, with that very determination, you are forgiven. Right? For the monks, this practice is more prominent. For the lay people, it is harder to understand. They say that five precepts I have to protect. All the time I have to protect. Whenever something is broken, what do you have to do? You have to acknowledge that I have broken this. Right? Make a determination that you will try to correct yourself. With that acknowledgement, with that determination, you are purified. You are forgiven. For the monks, this idea is more prominent. They go to some other monk, tell Bhante, I have sinned. And that the monk is asking, are you aware? Then the first monk is saying, I am aware, that's why I am saying. Right? I'm aware, that's why I am saying this. Right? Okay, try to correct yourself in the future. He is not some authority who can punish us or advise us. He is just another person, another companion in the same process. He says, okay, I hear you, try to correct yourself in the future. With that tradition or with that activity, you are forgiven. Right? That approach is the proper approach towards precepts. Otherwise, most people, they use precepts or morality to curse themselves. Right? As humans, we'll make mistakes. We have errors. That is the humanness. Right? So you have to accept it. You have to accept that we are human. We might make mistakes. Right? But we are not fooling those mistakes. In the name of the morality, we are fighting a good fight. We are fighting to keep these enemies in check. We are not fighting to become perfect. If you try to 100% protect your precepts, then you might end up becoming more and more vulnerable, right? So you get the idea. Whenever you come to the outside people or the situation, You can do your part, but at a certain point, you have to give up your control. When you come to your bodily health, you can do a certain part, but at a certain point, you have to give up control. Right? Even when it comes to your mind, your compulsive thoughts, defilements, these things. Even when it comes to mindfulness, you can do your part, but at a point, you have to give up control. Being mindful, right? You can't be mindful 100% of the time. You have to accept unmindfulness in the process, right? It is one of the important things in the practice, accepting unmindfulness. In the name of light, we accept darkness. Light represent good or the mindfulness. Dark represent bad or the evil, unmindfulness, right? So in the name of light, we have to accept darkness. We have to accept you can't be mindful 100% of the time. In the name of the mindfulness, we are accepting unmindfulness. We'll be unmindful in certain situations, certain times, that we accept. So in your practice, it is valuable milestone that you are accepting unmindfulness in the name or in the sake of the practice. You accept that this is the nature of our minds. I can do my part, I can be mindful into a certain level, but there will always be unmindfulness, right? So that's also the same topic, right? We are fighting a good fight, but we are fighting to keep the enemy in check. We are not fighting to eliminate the enemy, right? So that's the very idea. So this can be applied towards your daily situations. This can be applied towards your health. This can be applied towards morality. This can be applied towards your practice as well, right? Whatever the situations, this idea will tell us that we should fight. We should fight a good fight, but we are fighting to keep the enemy in check, right? Not to eliminate. If you try to make it 100%, if you try to eliminate it in the process, you'll become more and more vulnerable to these things. So that's the idea for today. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bhante. So next in the agenda is our Q&A session and our reports reading. To begin this session, I will invite Nadeep to read the reports. Thank you, Nadeep.
Thanks, Sonali. Would you be able to share that? Should we present the instruction beforehand? Or is it after the reports?
It's before. I will share the screen now.
Thank you, Sonali. Just before presenting the report, I would like to share the instruction. Whoever endeavoring to start mindfulness practice, there is a beginner's guide. Two videos have been produced with the assistance of venerable monks from the Nisarnamane. One for mindful walking and the other one is for mindful sitting. So give a good watch to those two videos and grasp the basics, because it's very important understand the basics of those practice. Once you watch those videos, most important thing is to start your practice. Start with a small amount of time, either early in the morning or before you go to the bed. For example, start your practice with the 5 minutes of mindful walking, which follows the mindful sitting. Then continue your practice for about a week while gradually increasing your amount of time spent on each practice, mindful walking and the mindful sitting. Once you complete your total practice for about 2 hours in a week, you could send us a report including your experiences. So it is again very important mentioning your object of mindfulness, either in breath or out breath, or rising and falling of your tummy in the case of mindful sitting. For the mindful walking, mention the touch, how you feel the sensation of your foot, and also what follows in your mindful walking. And also in the report, you could also include the mindfulness practice, daily mindful practice, other than mindful walking and mindful sitting. For example, your daily housework, how you practice your mindfulness at work. Include those experiences as well in your report. And you can submit those experience reports through our Google form or via email. Continue your practice, even though it is 5 minutes, 10 minutes per day. The consistency is very important just to get the results. And I would now move into the reading the report. Avsarai Bhante. Let me present the... we have two reports today. May I present the first report, Bhante?
Yes.
Mindful walking. Walked indoors. Attention was on feet movement at the beginning. Heat noticed when heels and toes pressed onto the carpet. It felt cold when each foot was lifted. Thoughts came and went with minimum proliferation. Rhythmic yet monotonous process of walking continued. Boredom experienced although walking continued. Unless focused on it, details of walking were not prominent. Walked for 50 minutes. Sensation of vibration from walking continued for a period afterwards. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion in a comfortable position. Noticed restless mind. Thoughts proliferated several times. Many thoughts related to almsgiving plan for Saturday, 2nd November. The prominent breath noted near nostrils. This felt familiar. In breath, warmer. Out breath, cooler. Breath broke up. Calmness and lighter feeling observed. Some thoughts were there in the background. The awareness remained on subtle breath and lighter feeling. Sensation of rocking back and forth was there. Feeling of sleepiness arose. Not certain if sleep took place. Sensation ended with noticing prominent breath. Sat for just over 50 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. It is 2 years since Dad passed away in my arms on the way to hospital. The details, which were vivid at the time, have faded. The mindfulness report sent soon after has much of the detail, but did not have an urge to check it out. What is still vivid, however, is the feedback Bhante offered and what was learned from witnessing Dad's death, which was calm. There was no struggle. He taught me how to be calm even in the face of his death. Lots of valuable lessons. Something of this nature came up when noticing restless mind in the sitting session. Why worry about the almsgiving going as planned? When Dad and I both were calm in the face of his death. This was such a good lesson. And the last couple of days were spent organizing, delegating, and doing what was possible. And there are more moments of peace in mind instead of a firm belief of how everything should go according to a plan. It will happen according to causes and conditions present and not based on expectations. Not able to attend class today due to almsgiving. Although look forward to listening to the recording soon. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you. Therwan Saranai. End of the report, Bhante.
Yes, so there is a certain kind of a plan, right? But it's more like nature's plan, right? So it'll teach us certain lessons. It'll take us through difficult situations, right? So that is life. It is life, right? Most people, they ruin it because they try to fight these difficulties. They try to live in the past. That's not possible. Now think about your very reflection that something happened. One of the dear ones passed away. One of the difficult situations that you had to face in life, right? So that happened. And you continued with your life, although it was difficult at times. Now, after a certain period, you feel that those memories, those emotions, they are not so vivid. They have faded away. Right, so that is the life. We don't have to go and, you know, revisit those memories. We don't have to go and read all things, right? Most people, what they do is that they don't let go. They try to revisit these things. If you have a urge to revisit, then it's fine. But most of the time, just as a habit, they keep reading those things. They keep revisiting those things. They keep revisiting the memories, right? And sometimes they keep diaries and read every day. So those things are not good because you have to allow this life to continue. Naturally, in the process, these things will be faded away. Certain things remain in your memory, certain lessons remain in your memory, then they are fine. Right, but allow things to fade away, allow things to change. Right, there's a plan, but it's more like nature's plan. Right, we plan into a certain level, we do plan according to today's topic. We plan, but we are not planning to control 100% of life. We do a certain planning, things work out according to the plan sometimes. Most of the time, it goes according to nature's plan, right? So that balance you have to understand. These things, though they are difficult, they teach us lessons, right? If we accept those situations, though it is difficult, if we somehow summon the courage and go through those situations, we will learn the lesson. The life or the nature is trying to teach us. If we keep fighting, if we keep resisting, suppressing, then it won't happen, right? So you have to understand this process. In your report, we can feel that you have understood, accepted it a lot. That is good, which is a good sign, right? Sometimes you become busy. You can't attend. You have to do your things. That's life. That's life, right? Somehow keep on navigating this, right? Keep on fighting a good fight, right? So that's the very idea. That's the very approach that we have to take, right? In future also, such lessons will come. Difficult situations you may have to face. And when they appear, though it is difficult in the short term, you can keep this lesson in your mind. Know that it will become better with time. It will fade away with time and it will teach you a new lesson. Right? So that's the very idea. Okay? So thank you for sharing. Make sure that you face life with this attitude. Thanks.
Much merit, Bhante. Let me present the second report. Therwan Saranai Bhante. Last 2 weeks, I had to face unexpected changes Meanwhile, there were no time for attending Zoom sessions or write Kamatahan report or sit for Paryanka. Even without those, things kept taking place and didn't feel hugely as I miss any of them. One after other things keep taking place in short time. How the courage came to face all without shaking like before was surprising. It was like a dream. I had to change the annex. My nearest relative passed away. I had to meet so many relations at once. Within brackets, I live alone and it was so many years without any of contacts due to some reasons. End of the brackets. Sometime with the loss of the relative, a fear which was deep down arose. From childhood, there was a fear of seeing ghost. As I live alone, this time it was a bit challenging. Sometime experience was like things fade and it's like some distance those happen. Anyhow, I was asked by relations to not to stay alone. But the feeling of being alone as much as possible needed to recharge me. Accepting the fear and facing it was the solution arose. I stayed alone in night to face the fear. So several days went with very less sleep and somewhat tiring. As fading thought time to time, as that died one may appear. No urge was to close eyes. Kept listening things till morning comes and sometime very short naps. Thoughts were not clear, but blur. After several days of facing the fear, it reduced. Even though name it as fear, it also shattering. And that situation there in far distance without a label in blur mode. When I had to meet relations, much talks than early. It was a tiring in a small level. It is like not rejecting the incident, but the lesson was to finding the balance. As I couldn't ignore who depends on support due to departure of relative, I had to appear for them. But to recharge myself, still keep space for being alone. After all, found that there is no interest to be with relatives in long run, as what they show and inside altogether seems not telling. Sensing their ways, still learning the balance. Keep moving without knowing where it takes. After all, this was clear. With the mindful practice, there is something developed. It is prepared mindset. Like anything can take next moment, but there is presentation to face it. If no such mindful practice, don't know how can any face all at once. So thank you so much, Bhante, for your guidance and support. Within brackets, but no words will be enough to thank. End of the brackets. Anyhow, thanks all, including all Bhantes, including the chief Bhante and who contribute to guide us in Nisaranavane. Same time, thank all who contribute to have Zoom meetings. Therwan Saranai Bhante. End of the report, Bhante.
Okay, right. So you have practiced for a while, you have attended Zoom sessions, you did your sitting, walking practice, and you shared your experiences, right? So all those months, years of effort was the very preparation for these unexpected changes or the situations, right? So you have done many months, years of practice. You attended in these sessions, shared experiences, right? The very idea was to face these unexpected situations that life might throw at us, right? So that is the preparation. You had a good preparation for the situations that came towards you, and that's how you had the courage to face them, right? So that is the very approach that we take. You have to do it beforehand, before you get sick. You don't know when you will get sick. You don't know when one of the dear ones will part, right? So you have to make sure that you are prepared beforehand, right? It might take few years, few months of practice, right? So, but we are preparing ourselves in order to face these difficult situations that life might throw at us. We have to have that preparation, right? So we are happy that you are prepared to face these situations, and that's the most important thing in your report. That's what you are highlighting, right? Something has changed. Mindfulness has changed you, and you were ready to face a difficult situations. Only going through those difficult situations will tell us how strong our practice is, right? We wish that difficulty won't come towards us. But when we go through difficult situations, then only we will know that how strong our practice is, right? So we are happy that you faced those situations with courage, especially face your fears. That's a very nice approach to it. Most people would prefer the other option, right? Avoiding the fears, right? But Buddha, he tells us that whenever these fears appear, the proper way, proper approach is to face them. He even adds his personal experience during some meditation time in a forest at night. Buddha, before his enlightenment, right, was meditating, and he could hear certain strange sounds, right? So even his mind, it is creating a story telling that this is a ghost, right? This ghost will try and approach you and, you know, harm you. That type of a story his mind is telling. But he chose the method or the way of facing his fears. He went and investigated what that sound was. And at the end, he says that the sound was some creature digging the ground. Right, if you get fearful and run away, the ghost will be there forever. Right, so that type of approach, face your fears. That is what Buddha is saying. Right, even he is telling his own personal experience of facing his fears in a dark forest, all alone at night, right, hearing strange sounds. It's natural that we get fearful, right? Even Buddha gets fearful, but he's saying that face your fears, investigate what is happening, be mindful and notice the status of your mind. That is the proper approach towards these things. Most people, they would prefer the other approach, and they will end up dependent on other people. They will end up appreciating the crowds instead of solitude, right? Because they are not able to face their fears, right? That's why people need other people. They need crowds because they are afraid to face their own fears. They need distractions like devices, all those things. They need distractions because they are afraid to face their own fears. There are those fears in our own mind. In our own mind, right? So you have to somehow develop the courage and face these things. That's how you can develop your practice. That's how you can strengthen your mind, right? The real peace is in solitude. But most people, they can't live alone. They don't appreciate solitude because in solitude, they'll have to face their fears. Right? So it's okay to prioritize you. It's okay to appreciate solitude over other people's ideas. It's okay to, you know, do your part and, you know, make sure that you part from them and maintain your own balance, right? Don't think those acts are selfish. Most, topmost priority is the peace within. Not, you know, making sure other people are satisfied, not agreeing with their own philosophies or ideas. That's not the most important thing. The top priority is your own peace of mind. That is the top priority. So whatever you have to do for that, you do, right? Even a yogi's life is a dedicated life for one's own peace. People say that is selfish. Even when it comes to a monk's life, people say that's a selfish life. They have given up responsibilities. They went and, you know, appreciated solitude. They don't care about their parents. That type of blaming comes from the society. But making oneself peaceful, making one's peace of mind the top priority, is it selfish? That's the question that you have to ask, right? That's the question that you have to ask. In Buddha's words, that's the most unselfish thing that you can do, right? Finding one's own peace of mind, right? So don't try to think that it is not good. Don't think that you are prioritizing yourself. You should prioritize yourself. You should prioritize your own peace of mind. That is the proper approach, right? So face your fears, take your own time, do it at your own pace, right? You might have to take it slow, like exposure therapy. You might have to do it step by step. But you have the courage you have developed through the practice, you have developed the courage. This is high time that we do it, right? Even living a lonely life, like living alone as a monk, you have to experience certain difficulties, right? You can't have somebody to support you all the time. That's not possible, right? Whatever the thoughts, emotions, you have to face all alone, right? So those things, they tell us, they teach us how to face our own fears, right? These fears are within, not in the outside world. The ghost is within, not in the outside world. One time I remember late at night, maybe probably past 9 p.m., right? And there was this rain approaching us, not us, rain approaching me. And I was walking through less popular path, right? Not many people go through that path, especially at night. So I was taking a shortcut and coming, right? And you can hear the sound of the wind, and suddenly lightning appeared. The entire forest was lit, right? And I could see strange eyes, like shining eyes, looking at me, right? It was the perfect situation to create my own ghost in this forest. But I felt fear. I felt that it was a strange situation. Like, you know, everything was dark. Suddenly lightning appears. Entire forest was lit for a split second. And you could see strange eyes looking at you. But it was wild boars, right? In the forest, right? And if you don't investigate, you'll figure out that it's some kind of a ghost that came after me. Perfect setting for a ghost, you know, lightning, wind, and suddenly you can see the eyes directed at you from the forest, right? So those are the situations. So we have to face our own fears. When you appreciate solitude, you will find your own fears. What are your own fears? face your fears. That's the way. Maybe step by step, gradually you might have to take it. But anyway, this is the way. This is the path. So we are happy that you have developed the ability to face these difficult situations, navigate these difficult situations. That very strength is the best gift that you can give to the organizers and whoever that put effort towards maintaining this type of program for years. Your very own practice, that is the very best gift that you can give us for conducting a program. So we are happy that you have given us that gift.
Thank you, Bhante, sharing your experience about the ghost as well. I also had the very similar experience about the ghost.
You didn't see that ghost here, right? Did you?
not in Australia, in Sri Lanka. I think all the ghosts are in Sri Lanka. Yeah, I was walking from the temple, you know, during the Katina season, special Pirit chanting just to, you know, chase away all the ghost demons and the those, you know, the beings. Just after that chanting, I was walking from temple to my home. Then I had a bit, you know, I was also a bit shaky, but along the way I saw two white things. It's very skinny, perfect picture of the ghost moving sideways. I start sweating and I feel like my body cold. Instead of, you know, running away, I just give a good watch at it. It's actually the moonlight strike on a dead banana leaves, and then the banana leaves actually move in sideways. Yeah, even today when I walk past that place, I laugh myself. Yeah, but I was so scared. But I, you know, instead of, you know, running, I watch it closely what was going on there.
Those leaves, since they are tall, you know, the
yes.
perfect thing to, you know, reflect moonlight and create some kind of a, yeah. So we have our own fears, so face the fears. That's the idea.
Yeah.
We have to, you know, our own unique fears we might have to face. It's different for different people. They have different fears, but whatever it is, facing them with the mindfulness, that's the approach.
Yeah.
I think
we are
that
time,
your past
Bhante.
Time.
Sorry, Bhante. We are out of time. May we have some spare time for verbal questions?
Next time, no? Because
time?
It's
okay.
almost, yeah, 2:30.
Yes.
Yeah,
all right. Thank you very much, Bhante. Much merits. Sonali, over to you to conclude the program. Thank you very much.
Hi, Nadeep. Sonali had to leave, so I'm going to take over and end the session for the day.
Arindu might have more ghost stories.
I wanted to, but I think we are running out of time. So let's end the session for the day. So we have come to the end of another successful session. So let me first thank Venerable Omagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for guiding us, as always. And also, we cannot forget the Chief Abbot of Nisarnavane, Udayagama Dhamma Jiva Mahathero, for initiating this program and creating a platform for beginners to come and practice mindfulness and learn about mindfulness. And also, I'd like to thank all those who joined us today on this Zoom channel and those who are joining with us today on Facebook Live as well. Also, I cannot forget the team behind. They've been doing a wonderful job to bring this program every week to you. So let me thank all of you for doing this. What we are doing is to promote mindfulness. Right. So with that, I'm going to end the session. And let's meet you all once again in another week's time. Thank you.